Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artists. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen, and I am so excited because my favorite artist is on the show this evening. But let me introduce my co-host, Mike Reynolds. Mike, how are you?
Hey, sir. How are you doing tonight, Terry? What's going on?
I'm doing well, and for those of you in the chat room, just let me let you know that Mike is sitting in a bar watching a football game.
That's
I'd be
right,
so
the national championship. The national championship. Come on, Auburn. The Auburn Tigers.
College football at that. Okay. All right. My guest this evening, Brian Culberson. You know he's my favorite artist. Love him. And we have a special guest, Miss Natalie Stewart, the Flowicist, formerly of Floetry. She recorded the song I Don't Know on Brian's 12 CD, and that's why I invited her on, because I wanted to talk to her about that song. So Brian Culberson and Natalie Stewart, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi. Welcome to
Hey,
back.
What's going on, Brian?
Thank you for having me.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing good.
We're going to ask you how are you doing, because we know you're in Atlanta stuck.
I am stuck in Atlanta. I was flying through Atlanta yesterday. I was in New York City trying to get home to L.A., and we were on the layover here. And during the layover, a snow and ice storm came in to Atlanta. We sat on our connecting flight for about 4.5, almost 5 hours.
Till
it was 3 a.m. They finally canceled our flight.
Wow.
So we had to get off the plane, went down to baggage claim. They say you can't get your bags. So we decided to just go to a hotel. We found a hotel that had a room not even close to the airport, so we had to get this like hour-long drive because all the freeways were closed down. It was pretty dangerous actually driving. But we made it to a hotel, and all the flights today were canceled, so we're just chilling.
Wow.
Yeah. Thankfully, I didn't have a gig tonight, so.
Yeah.
Really? And I thought they had passed a law or something, or working on a law about keeping people on the plane that long.
Well, actually, at one point, they did allow people to get off if they wanted to.
Okay.
So, but it was a quick, okay, you can get off, and then 5 minutes later, they're like, oh, okay, get back on, because we have a window, we might make it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
And Atlanta is literally shut down. Is it snowing now?
You know, look out the window. Because it was sleeting all day long. You know, I can't really tell. It doesn't look clear, so it might be a little bit, but I think it's tomorrow it's supposed to stop. It might be coming down a little bit right now, but certainly not as bad as it was last night.
Ooh. Wow.
It was pretty gnarly.
All right.
And,
let me say hello.
We tried to even go to the mall today, but the mall was closed. Everything is closed. Nothing's
Everything.
Open. Crazy. Oh, well.
Just shut down. And you have no clothes. No clothes.
No, I've been in my hotel robe.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Well, let me welcome everyone to the chat room. We have about 22 people in the chat room right now. So welcome you all to the chat room and in the spot. Hey, in the spot, welcome. If you would like to call in and speak with Brian or Natalie, the number is 646-716-5485. But give us a few minutes. We'll start taking calls at about 7:30 or so because I want to talk to Brian and Natalie before we take phone calls. So first of all, let me welcome Natalie again to the show. And she is calling in from London where it is 3 a.m. So thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely welcome. Yeah, it's a good time. Most people are asleep, you know. Good creative time anyway. I'm usually up.
Okay, well, I want to let you know that Mike is a big fan of yours. He says your music is hot fire.
Hot, well, that's good. I like hot fire, you know.
Hot fire. So, Natalie, I wanted to have you on the show because I absolutely love I Don't Know. And I wanted to talk to you and Brian together about this song. To find out what the inspiration was, and Brian, was Natalie your first choice in recording this song?
Yeah, hands down, no question about it. When I came up with this idea of this song, it started like most songs for me start. I just was scrolling through different kind of cool sounds and keyboard sounds, and I came across this one particular sound that really sparked the whole track. And when I played this sound, it just all of a sudden I came up with a groove around it. I played chords around it. I played this melody around it, and I had this whole conceptual, I don't know, idea about what this song was telling me. And what it was I kept thinking about, you know, some random guy just kind of walking around a city. Almost like it was a barren city, like a deserted city in a way. Just walking around, kind of contemplating life, and he finally comes to the realization that he doesn't know, and that's what that song's telling me. So it's kind of deep, and so I emailed Natalie. I said, I have this kind of concept for this song, and I would love for you to just, you know, do your thing over it with that concept in mind. And I knew she would be perfect because, you know, she's so amazing with her poetry and everything that she writes, and just her vibe and everything would just be perfect for this song. So I begged and begged, and she said, okay, yes. Well, thank you.
Brian said, I've got this idea, and I was like, thank you. Of course, it would be my honor and pleasure. Absolutely. You know, and it's funny, and just listening to that, that's really very much how he described the concept to me. And what interesting title to be given to write on. As a poet, you spend so much time affirming and saying what you do know, you know?
Right.
And interestingly enough, I think in the interesting thing about the walk of a poet is you get to upgrade your own philosophies and thoughts and perspectives. And there was actually something in it for me to write about what I don't know. You know, it was good. It was a nice release as well.
Wow. So, Natalie, when you got the music, did you have a did you know how you wanted to do it, you know, in addition to the way Brian wanted it to sound and feel? Did you also have an idea of what you wanted to do with it?
You know, what's so beautiful about working with such amazing, amazing star-like talent is that you don't have to worry about all that stuff. You just play your part within what's there. So no, I just wanted to hear the track and then to you know, allow what comes to come. So no, it was we'd had quite a beautiful coming together creatively, working on another track together on 12, and so no, it wasn't a prep thing like that. It was more so I really wanted to hear the music, and Brian's poetry and his music is so alive that for me, you know, I just needed the track.
Okay, I'm going to play the song. This is. Did you have some? You wanted to say something, Brian, before I play the song?
Well, the last thing I wanted to say was I didn't even have really a concept of where she was going to do anything. I just said, do your thing wherever you feel it, naturally. And
okay.
You know, I think that is important, you know, as a, I wear many hats, artist, songwriter, and a producer. So at that point, I had to be a producer and say, you know what? You, Natalie, as an artist yourself, you know, you do your thing here. And that's why I call certain people for certain things. And, you know, the artistry just shines through. And then I got the track. I was like, oh, my God, this is brilliant. So it worked.
Yes, yes, it did. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to play I Don't Know. This is from Brian Culberson's 12 CD.
I don't know.
I love that.
Now, I had a question for Natalie. I wanted to ask Natalie a question. I know that recently you've been working with a lot of smooth jazz artists like Brian, Eric Darius, and Layla Hathaway, and also Mike Phillips. Now, how did this come about, transitioning from the neo soul side to, you know, collaborating with smooth jazz artists?
Well, for me, it's just not as, you know, it's not as strange a journey. I'm a poet, and the relationship between jazz and spoken word is long-serving, much longer-serving, I suppose, than some of the genres of music that we identify with now. I wasn't picking a genre when I started creating. I happened to create my first album in Philadelphia, where the neo-soul, I mean, it's the mecca of neo-soul, it definitely was when I arrived there, recording the album, you know, in the same place that Jill Scott had just finished that incredible album, and, you know, Music Soul Child had just finished his incredible, both of them, their debut album. So in terms of the energy, the collective, collaborative energy, I ended up making an album with neo-soul producers. My contribution to music is a phloetic ethos, is poetic delivery of musical intent. So, you know, it's very natural for me. I like, it's the music I feel, music I listen to, musicality and just an approach to creativity and the actual true art form. So for me, very natural. These are the people that I've been collaborating with in this break. These are the people that have been reaching out to me. And also, you know, people that I admire and actually do listen to and chill and jam with and build my spirit off of. So for me, just a very, very, very natural, not really so much a transition as a reestablishment of the root, you know?
Okay. Now, Natalie, could you just give me a little bit of the lyrics for I Don't Know?
Oh, now you're going. Careful, you make my computer crash. There's so many lyrics in this head right now. You know, it's funny, as I was listening, you know, the piano part that you play, Brian, and the kind of, should we say, hook area. Actually spoke the first lines to me, because it says to me, when you play da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it says, there are answers waiting to greet him. There are questions deep in the skies. That it says that to me, you know. Funnily enough, that's where the poetry kind of came from on my first listening down. So, you know, and I think also a very important line in there is the affirmation of moving forward without the fear of saying, I don't know. It can be a false sense of, I don't know, bravery or resilience to think that, you know, being able to or positioning yourself to never have to admit to not knowing something is a way to be. When, you know, really, if you're walking and journeying through life, you have to be as ready to receive a message as you are to give one, you know?
Right.
And that's very much the energy within which I was writing to formulate that which Brian was speaking of. That man that was journeying, you know.
Well, and your line is that not afraid to say I don't know. That really hit it for me. I mean, that, because that for many people is very frightening to admit that you don't know something. That's admitting something, but it can be very freeing, as you say. So, for that person to say, not afraid to say I don't know, that's a great line right there.
Mm. Right. Now, Miss Natalie
Stewart. We're
getting
deep here on the blog talk.
Well, it's a deep song. I really liked it. I liked the entire CD, but for some reason that song just really stood out for me, and I don't know why, but
well, it's a very
I really like that song.
It's a very different whole sonic palette, I think. The production style of that song is different. The chords are different. It is it's a more it's introspective. It's I don't know. It takes me on a visual journey as well. It's very cinematic. To me, I can keep that in a film score somewhere. I mean, you know, it's not just a regular kind of jazz song. I don't think it's really anything jazz about it, to me.
Mm-hmm, no.
Yeah, I agree.
No, it's just
visual.
Music. Yeah, it's
yeah,
visual.
It's very cinematic for me. I think when I received the track, it was interesting because, you know, someone can say to you, this was my vision, and then, you know, you get it and you have to place their vision onto the thing they sent you because it's not necessarily the same as maybe the conversation that you had. But the music really felt like, dimensionally, that which Brian had said. It has that, it almost has a panoramic feel to it. You know, when it really opens up on the vamp, I can almost see someone just kind of standing up in amongst, you know, these glass-covered skyscrapers, you know, and just kind
with
of...
With no one else around.
Just no one there, you know, just spinning in a courtyard, you know?
Well,
and
this eeriness and ominous quality to it as well. I don't know.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I agree. Now, Miss Natalie has a new CD out called Flow Edit, and I am going to play a song from that CD. But we would like to have you back on, Natalie, to do, you know, an hour with you to talk about the CD, if that's
lovely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, that'd be lovely.
Okay. All right. So tell us about the CD, and the song I'm going to play is Come Over with Layla Hathaway.
Oh, what a lovely choice. The CD, Brian will know, I kind of recorded it in a very tight time. He and I, our schedules were bumping because I was craning to try and get something. Next one, Brian, huh?
No problem. Yeah, we were both like... rolling all over the road, and I was all over the place. So I was like, I can't do this day. What about that day? She's like, no, I'm out.
Yeah, we were...
didn't happen this time, but maybe next time, definitely.
Next time, definitely. Phloetic Soul is, you know, I've been on a journey since I was 19, and became a poet in word and in action to fuse music and poetry without losing the integrity of either. Formats, and that journey created my ethos of, you know, phloetic communication, which is poetic delivery, musical intent. My new album is actually my first solo endeavor, which is quite interesting, although before doing music in a group, I was a poet, a solo speaker, member of a poet collective, so this is very much a continuing of a journey and a continuing and the building of a creative ethos that's been very close to my heart as a study and philosophy and all the such. So Phloetic Soul is, you know, stands tribute to my ethos, phloetic ethos, and then also to the neo-soul movement, which I'm, you know, quite honored to be a part of and to... You know, it's interesting in the beginning when everyone was calling us neo-soul. I don't think we understood what was happening, but I think it's quite a beautiful thing to be banded as a new soul artist with regards to what that means of the offering and the intention and the quality. So that's all in the title. And the record is, I think it shares quite a transformational time and just many mantras and affirmations and wonderful things that I kind of found along the way that came out in like a 12-day recording period. So it's like 4 years in 13 songs.
Okay. And did you know that you wanted Layla Hathaway on this song?
You know, it's an interesting thing. This is actually... the only song out of the whole album that I'd been working on previously, a song I'd been kind of maneuvering over a few years. And in hindsight, now I realize that thing that kept me going in on that song was the fact that Layla Hathaway wasn't on it, you know, because I'm very good with that song now, you know, that there's no back and forth with it anymore. Interestingly enough, as I started the record and started to think of people I would collaborate with, you know, I just, the idea of being able to get, she's just a thespian of voice, you know, just the idea of being able to collaborate with her. And I just, I love collaborating, was just so enticing to me. And then just the idea of her presence joining me in the phloetic delivery of that particular message just really excited me. And I mean, what a performance. What a performance she gave.
Well, let's take a listen to it. The song is called Come Over, and this is from Natalie Stewart's new CD, Phloetic Soul.
Thinking of you.
you go. Come over from the Flowist. It's Miss Natalie Stewart's new CD, Floetic Soul. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Let me open up the phone lines. Yeah, really nice. We definitely want to have you back, so I will be contacting Miss Raquel for that and get you scheduled so we can listen to some more music on that CD. I'm going to open up the phone lines now, 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485, if you have any questions for Brian or Natalie. Okay, so Brian.
Yeah.
What's coming up for you? Look, the only thing I want to know is that you are hosting another cruise. When is this going to happen?
I will not be hosting another cruise. Not anytime soon. I am actually talking to a few different people about what the options are moving forward. So I haven't committed to anything yet. But rest assured, I will be on something cruise-wise. So I should know soon. So I'll let you know. But otherwise, sorry to skate the issue there, but hey, I don't know anything yet. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. One thing
I am going to tell you about, this is very exciting. Nobody knows about this yet, and I'm going to unveil it right here, right now.
Exclusive. Pay attention, everybody.
This is an exclusive right here. Nobody knows about it. I haven't Twittered about it. I haven't Facebooked it. Nobody knows. The reason I was in New York City was I did a showcase with another piano player. And what we were doing was we put together a whole new show and were showcasing at a promoters convention called the APAP convention. And basically all these promoters from all over the country came in for this convention for a few days. And myself and David Benoit got together. And we literally are putting together a dual piano show, just us two on stage, two pianos, two grand pianos, playing each other's music as piano duets.
Wow.
And I gotta say,
no band, just you guys?
No band, just David, me on stage, back and forth. And I gotta say, it was so exciting to play this. And the audience didn't really know what to expect, but by the end, man, it was so much fun. We had a great time. We get to tell more stories. We get to really show off, you know, playing the piano. When you have a whole big band behind you, you know, there's horns and guitars and basses and drums. They just get in the way sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So totally new thing. I've never done anything like it. And so I'm very excited. So we just literally are announcing that now to stay tuned for shows being booked probably later this year starting. And, you know, we're going to be adding an interesting video element to it with video cameras on each of the keyboards with a giant split screen behind us showing us, you know, each of the keyboards, the fingers on the keys playing. We got a lot of interesting multimedia thing planned for this show. So it's not just two guys sitting up there with a piano, with two pianos. It's a whole lot more than that. So I'm just saying stay tuned for a really interesting show. Coming up later this year.
Wow, that is I cannot wait for that.
Now, how did this concept come about? I mean, who came up with it, you or David?
It literally was a thing where I was at over at his house. He was having a recital at his house, and at the end of it, he kind of just mentioned to me casually, "Hey, man, we should do something together someday." And, Natalie, you know how that is. Sometimes, you know, you're with random artists here and there, and people always mention that kind of stuff. And you just, most of the time it's like, yeah, sure. And you never do anything. But I actually went home and started stewing, thinking about what potentially we could do together. And the concept for a dual piano thing just kind of hit me. And I called him the very next day, and I said, "Hey, man, what do you think about this?" So, and he was totally into it, and so we got together about 3 months ago for one day, and just kind of played through some both of our, you know, some of our catalog, and just to see if it was going to even work. And you know, we came up with we played about 6-7 tunes together, and we were like, "Man, this is pretty damn fun." So. Just last week, or like 4 days ago, we got together again in New York, put together a little half-hour show, and went and did it, and you know, got rave reviews, and so hopefully we're going to start booking shows soon. So I'm excited.
Wow. Okay, I have a call holding, so let me take this call. But I have a question regarding that. So Tamara, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Mike. Brian.
Thanks for holding.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Is Natalie still there?
Yes.
Is Natalie still there?
Yes, I'm
Hi.
I'm here. Hi.
How
Anna,
are you?
How are you?
I'm
very
lovely,
well.
Thank
you.
I'm great,
perfect.
Thanks. I just wanted to tell you, since it's you and Brian together, that I absolutely love Don't You Know Me By Now on 12. That's my new anthem. Great.
Uh-huh.
I hope they play it later. And
uh-huh.
Love your work in general. So,
thank
Ryan,
you
what's
so
going on?
Much.
Oh, you're welcome. So what's going on, B?
Well, I'm hanging out in Atlanta. I don't know if you've heard.
Yes, I've heard. Poor thing.
Stay warm. Yeah, exactly. No,
okay.
It's all good.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought that song up, Don't You Know Me By Now. That's actually the first song that Natalie and I collaborated on.
Her
songwriter and... obviously, Faith Evans ended up singing it on the record, but
indeed.
You know, you can hear Natalie all up in it. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I just love that song too. It's definitely one of my favorites on the record. And
I tell
you,
know, you something,
that
Brian,
a lot
when
of
you
fun
sent
working
that
in the
over,
studio.
When you sent that one over to me, and I heard Faith's, you know, and Faith's version was down. Every time I hear it, I think to myself, she sounds like she sang it with her hand on her hip, you know? Just
oh, yeah.
Everything we were talking about when we were writing, you know, just
attitude,
everything
attitude.
We were talking about.
Yeah,
oh, her
there.
Attitude and that delivery is just second to none. It really is.
Yeah, when I played it for her, the demo that you had sang, and, you know, I said, "Hey, you know, I got this song. We're looking for a female vocalist." I wasn't even thinking, you know, she was going to want to sing it, but she goes, "Well, I'm a female vocalist. Can I hear it?" So I'm like, "Well, I know. I don't want to impose, you know." She was just hanging out. So I played her the song, and she just fell in love with the song immediately, I could tell. And, you know, the subject matter was just, it was just spot on. And, it, you know, she just delivered it so well. And you know. The whole thing just came together so well. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, Tamara, I don't have that one loaded up. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. That's okay. I'll play it myself.
Well, thank you for calling.
Oh, one more question. Brian, so what has Lord Byron been up to lately?
Oh, what is he working on?
Mm-hmm.
At the moment... nothing, but I hope one of the remixes for Skies Wide Open is going to be released on iTunes soon.
No.
So, I did a complete club remix of the Avant track on my record, Skies Wide Open, and like full-on, full-on-the-floor dance club, you know, hot mix. So I think we're going to release that soon.
Is it hot fire? That's all I want to know.
That's
the one, yeah.
Hot fire.
That's right.
Very cool. Well, nice talking to you again. Nice talking to you, Natalie.
Nice talking to you, too.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
All right.
Thanks,
see ya.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, Brian, what I wanted to know was the music that you and David Benoit will be playing with this piano duo. Is this going to be original music? Are you guys writing original music for this show?
We have not done that yet, but we are planning on doing some. The majority of it will be, you know, yeah. are songs that everyone knows, you know, the hit songs that we've done for years. And, you know, David Benoit has such a huge, huge hit catalog. I mean, you know, we could play a million songs just with him. But so it's exciting to go back and forth. You know, we opened up with a tune of mine called Say What, and then we went into his, one of his classes called classics called Every Step of the Way. And, you know, and vice versa. So, and he also has that whole Charlie Brown catalog that we're going to take advantage of. And, you know, so the lots of interesting potential. We're also going to do some jazz, old jazz classics, too. Stuff that we don't normally do in our regular shows. So, but in this kind of format, I think we can flip it up a little bit more and be adventuresome and do things that neither one of us normally do, just because. Why not? It's about showcasing the great instrument that the grand piano is. And, you know, so when you come to that show, you're going to hear a lot of different things and a lot of notes, but a lot of good notes.
Wow. Okay. We are talking to my favorite artist, Brian Culberson, and Miss Natalie Stewart, the Flowicist. If you would like to call in, please give us a call at 646-716-5485. Mike, did you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, piggyback on that, what Tamara asked about the songwriting and everything with, you know, Brian was saying that, you know, Faith is on the song that Natalie wrote. And Natalie, when you write songs and when you're going to the studio for someone else like you did the track with Layla Hathaway, do you have in mind a person that you would want to sing one of your songs, or it just comes out and like you said, Faith, you can kind of picture her with her hand on her hip singing it. You know, who do you kind of envision singing some of the songs that you write?
It's interesting because I suppose there are a couple of parts in answering that. Take, for instance, when Brian and I went in to make the song Don't You Know Me By Now, we just knew that, you know, there's a female vocalist would be, you know, singing the song. And we spoke about what type of track it was and what we were doing, and then we just wrote something in this particular energy and space. When I heard Faith sing that song, she sung it like she had her hand on her hip in that situation. I wrote it with my hand on my hip, I suppose, you know, so I suppose it translated in that way. But then, you know, you have another situation where you might be writing a song for someone in particular, someone you know, or even someone you don't know but you spent time with, versus someone where they may take a song that you've already written. With that being said, I always write conceptually. In a complete way. I like to have a solution somewhere. I don't like to kind of just leave an emotion raw and just kind of leave a listener with that. So conceptually, I'm always writing in a complete sense. And then I suppose what happens is the right marriages come, you know. Not too often someone sings a song that isn't theirs. And I think when that happens, it's quite apparent. So there are many marriage moments that occur. You know, the fact that Faith even, I suppose, kind of pulled the song out to be played. It wasn't even going to be played, and then it was played, but it was the right song for her to sing, you know. So there are a couple of things that were involved.
I got to jump in and just tell the story of how she even heard it. I didn't even think I could even get the song to her. She was never even on the list of potential singers because I thought, you know, she was too big or going to be too expensive or whatever. And she just happened to come by the studio when I was recording with Chuck Brown. She was a fan of his, and she heard he was going to be over, so she just came by and just ended up hanging out the whole day. And during that day, she just started asking me how the rest of the record was going. And I said, hey, everything's going great, but I do have this other song. I'm looking for a singer, thinking, you know, hey, who knows? And so from that point on, she said, let me hear it, and boom, there it is. So I love it when stories or things like that organically happen. That's the best way, instead of forcing someone to sing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sorry, go ahead, Natalie.
Okay.
No, that's what he said.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let me take a call. I have a phone call. Area code 631. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, it's Janine.
Hello.
Hey, Janine.
Hi.
Yo. Quick question. I really love Don't You Know Me By Now, and I just think it has so much attitude to it. It has a lot of flair. And I was just wondering, you know, when you write songs, I noticed that you tend to have this sort of, oh, I was thinking about this, this is what I'm envisioning. And I just wanted to know, what exactly were you envisioning for that song? You know, if you were to make a music video out of that song, what would be going on here?
Oh, I can tell you exactly. That song is very much in energy, and if we just take it away from just individuals, it's very much kind of in the share of the space of the divine feminine, the divine masculine, if we take those as an eternal relationship. And there is, as women, you know, we have a part of the month where we can just be catering to and thinking of how other people feel, how it may be best to approach a subject, you know, all these kind of things that can work in companionships. And then there just happens to be also a time every month of every year of our lives for a while where, you know, you just might not have that kind of energy to be putting someone else's ego or pride or things that could make things balance out a bit that we do for most of the month. So this is a very much, it's almost a PMS song. Not that I believe in PMS in itself, but it's a song that it's kind of just, as a woman, you know, when you get to that point where it's not that you want to pull the full warrior out, you know, in your king or anything. It's just that you just don't have time for the dance. You don't have that extra special thing that right mile might just, you know, build you up, as much as we love to do that all the time. But right now, just please don't ask me again how I'm doing, you know, because I don't want to offend, you know, because if I tell you my truth, I might get on your nerves. So just let me chill. Don't you know me by now? I'll be cool in like 5 days.
5 days? All righty then.
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you for calling, Janine.
No problem. Bye, guys.
See
okay,
ya. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Okay, I have two questions from the chat room for Brian. Barbara would like to know if you're going to be back in time for your gig at Spaghettini's.
I hope so. I'm trying my best. You know, everything today was canceled. There's starting to be flights out tomorrow, but they're oversold, so I'm not sure if we're going to get out tomorrow. I'm just waiting to find out what flight I can get on. So I'm also supposed to play at the NAMM show, which is a music convention in Anaheim on Friday. So hopefully I'm back by Thursday.
Okay.
Fingers crossed.
And then And then In the Spot would like to know, have you ever performed in Bermuda?
I've never performed in Bermuda, but I've been on two cruise ships that went to Bermuda, but we didn't perform in Bermuda. We just performed on the way there and away from it, but not on it.
Away from it. Okay.
Yeah.
And this this is a question that I wanted to ask you last time we had you on, but I didn't get a chance to ask you. I want to ask you about your hair. This is your signature look.
Okay.
When did your hair evolve into this spiky look that you have now?
That's a good question. I don't know the first day that I actually did it. I do know that there was an engineer by the name of Peter Mokrin, who who mixed my record, It's On Tonight, and he had this interesting hairdo where it was pretty much normal looking, except one little weird piece always stuck up in the back. And for the longest time, I thought it was like, I kept saying, I wanted to say to him, dude, you got a little alfalfa spike over there going on, you know? But I never said anything. But then it started growing on me. I was like, hey, it's kind of a vibe. And it's nothing like I have, but it sparked a little interest within me to maybe experiment with mine and just see what the hell happened. And so I just started taking some gel one day, and I don't remember when this was, and it just went up, and I was like, okay, I could maybe pull this off, you know. It's kind of rock star, sort of, kind of, I don't know. So I went with it, and, you know, I was obviously working with my hairdresser, who I've been with for many, many years, and we sort of, you know, eventually came up with what it is today, and yeah, and now it's on the album cover. Go figure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like a signature look for you now. Yeah, cool. Okay. All right, well.
Well, I had a question.
Whenever I cut it someday, it's going to, you know, everyone's going to talk about it. Isn't that funny? Oh,
yeah,
my God, it's
definitely.
Here. Cut it there. You know, one of those things. What are you going to do?
Now, I had a question for you and Natalie. As you guys know, well, you know, Brian, you've been on twice before. We've interviewed a lot of independent artists, up-and-coming artists, and things like that. But, you know, when you guys first came out and everything, what are some of the challenges that you guys faced and adversities being a new artist trying to, you know, make it into the mainstream?
Well, I'll tell you what mine were. You know, in the beginning, like anybody, the hard thing is getting a gig, and once you've gotten a gig, getting people to show up, because nobody knows who you are yet, and nobody knows who you are. So, you know, a lot of times I would get on a gig, and I still remember there'd be like 12 people there, you know, so that's a little tough, but, you know, you just got to play like there's 100,000 people in the audience every night, no matter how many people are there. And so if you go in with that attitude, you know, I think you will come out, you know, on top, or hopefully. And, you know, if you go in with a bad attitude, like, oh, man, you know, it's not going to do you well. So you just got to stay with a positive attitude no matter what goes on, because it's hard for a while. You know, even people that you see on the top of the charts these days, on the pop charts, you know what? People think, oh, they're an overnight sensation. You know what? Nobody is. It's many, many years of hard, hard work that you got to, you know, be grinding. And, you know, you just got to stick with it. And if it's your love and passion, you know, just do it.
Just do it, yeah.
And now let's go.
I mean, for myself, it's quite an interesting one, you know. As poet, I wasn't looking in my write-on magazine necessarily looking at, you know, other poets, thinking to myself, man, I want to get myself a Bentley like my favorite poet. You know, I want to be as big as them. It wasn't ever that type of thing. It's more so been on the word. So I was rocking open mics and spoken word spots with really no expectation and just with pure intention. So my path really kind of opened and developed for me as I moved. I was formulating it as I was going. Like Brian said, you have to do it is the reality. The only shortcut is that there are no shortcuts, you know. You just have to do whatever it is that is yours to do, because there has to be something that you have to pass. Otherwise, you know, the blessings wouldn't be able to understand that which comes from creating an album, or, you know, the way that can enhance and change your life, how you travel, the standard, the quality of your life, these different things. So regarding the walk, I suppose I never was trying to break into the mainstream. So I didn't have that vision to kind of work with or against. I'm also was attempting to share my message. So that was the journey for me, was understanding where to go, you know, not necessarily go in places where people didn't want to listen, you know, and embracing and recognizing that my audience reflects who I am, not I need to figure out a way to just get a bigger audience, but respecting and understanding and loving the people who are coming and understanding that the more I grow as a person is the more relativity I have to share. And that's the effect of the art. So I wasn't really walking the mainstream prayer and journey, more so the share. So it's been quite a beautiful journey.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, Natalie, it's 4 a.m. your time. So we really appreciate you coming on and spending an hour with us. Thank you so much. And we definitely want to have you back on. So I will be contacting Raquel and to schedule you.
Excellent. Well, thank you for having me, Brian. It was great hearing from you.
Oh, you too, Natalie. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you soon. By the way, I'm coming back to the UK in May for like 2 weeks.
Excellent.
So hopefully we can hook up.
Excellent. I look forward to that. And I know I'll be out your side soon, too. So we'll make sure we make it happen.
All right. See you soon,
thanks,
Natalie.
Mike.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody. See you all. Peace.
Thank you, Natalie. All right, that was Miss Natalie Stewart. Her new CD is called Floetic Soul. Pick that up, and we will have her back on the show to talk to her about the CD very, very soon, very soon. Okay, so Brian, what's coming up for you?
For me, well, hopefully, like I said, after I get home, I'm going to go to the NAMM show this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Saturday night I'm going to sit in at Spaghettini's, as the person was asking. Hopefully this guy by the name of David Pack, great artist, he had the band named Ambrosia. He put together a jam session there with a lot of his buddies and who's going to be there? I forget who all is going to be there. Lots of different people. we're going to sit in and jam and have fun. And then I'm home for a little while. Then I, top of February, I got a show out in Honolulu.
Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Doing that show. And then I'm trying to, actually, I might be going to the Java Jazz Festival in March. That's in Jakarta, Indonesia. So that's coming up. Like I mentioned to Natalie, I'm going to be going back to the UK, doing a couple weeks over there in May. A lot of shows in April, the Berks Jazz Festival, the Seabreeze Jazz Festival. I'm doing the Broadmoor event in Colorado with Earl Clue. So lots of great stuff looking up. You know, be on the road a lot and be looking out for the Benoit show, too, later on in the year.
Okay. Oh, definitely. And now, Brian has been nominated yet again for International Instrumental Artist of the Year by the 2011 WAVE Awards, formerly known as the Canadian Smooth Jazz Awards. So you can go and vote for him and all of the other nominees by going to thewaveawards.ca and vote for Brian and all the other nominees. So congratulations to you on that.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
And an early happy birthday to you. Brian's birthday is Wednesday. So
happy
birthday
to
you.
Oh, thank you. We'll see if I'll be at home by then. Who knows?
Now, I have one more question for you before we let you go. One more question.
Okay.
And you've introduced us to a lot of artists over the years, you know, Eric Darius, Steve Cole, you know, Mark Quayle now. A lot of guys in the funk band. Is there anybody out there who you see that we should keep our eye on?
Yeah, there's a new kid, a new sax player by the name of B.K. Jackson. J
Jack.
You know him?
Yes.
Yes.
Kenny Jackson. He is, every time I see him, he blows me away. So I'm talking to him, and I hope someday, you know, I can coax him to come out on the road with me. So
okay.
We'll see.
Oh, okay.
He's only 18 or 19 right now, so he's in college. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's doing his thing there, which is cool. But I hope someday, you know, I can get him out and, you know, have him come out on a show or two or whatever here and there. So, but definitely keep your eye out for this kid. He's really an amazing talent. I mean, I saw him on a jam session in the middle of eight other sax players. I mean, veteran sax players. He came out, literally mopped the floor up with everyone. I'm not even lying to you. I'm not even going to say who else was on there. It was ridiculous. I mean, this kid just, I had to give it to him. And the crowd was losing their mind.
Wow.
So anyway, I'm definitely excited about this guy, and really, really nice kid, too. He lives in Florida, I think. So, I think he's, you know, I think he's kind of the next Eric Darius and beyond. So we'll see.
Okay, cool.
Mm. I was introduced to BK Jackson in 2008 and interviewed him when he was only 16 at the time.
Mm.
And even then, he blew me away with his music. Even then.
Yeah.
So I can imagine 2 years later what he sounds like now. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was something else. Now, and since Mike brought that up, I have to thank you again personally for the impromptu videos that you allowed us to do at Berks in 2010.
That's
every time
no
I
problem.
Look at that video, I crack
what?
Up.
Oh,
just
no,
hilarious.
That one? Oh, God. No,
yes.
Not that one.
You know what I'm talking about, Brian?
At the movie theater. Oh, Lord.
At the movie theater. Oh, it was so funny. That was so funny. I just wanted to thank you again for that, because you were such a good sport about it, Brian. You know, you could have just walked away and said no, but you didn't. So
anytime,
thank you.
Anytime.
So,
well, maybe I'll
you.
See you again
thank
at this Berks Festival, huh?
I won't be at Berks, but I will be at Seabreeze.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
Oh, you will. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be at
Seabreeze. We'll see you there.
Yeah.
Yes. All right,
and I want to apologize for not having any questions for you. No formal questions, because Terry just hit me up and said that Brian wants to come back on the show. I don't know why, but he wants to come back on, and I didn't have any questions for you. So I want to apologize for not having any formal questions for you.
All
next time
good.
I have some
all
questions
good.
Written down.
No problem.
You're welcome anytime. Anytime you're welcome. If you want to co-host a show, whatever, you are always welcome, Brian. Always.
All right. Well, thanks both of you for having me back on, and I'll see you out on the road soon, okay?
Yeah, definitely. And thank you
all
for
right,
calling in and all that trouble that you're going through, you know, with the plane and the hotel and the hour ride and everything.
Well, hey,
we'll
make it.
Okay. You'll make it. All right.
I just hope the mall opens tomorrow, because I need some clean draws. I ain't lying to you.
Wait, you can always wash them out in the sink.
Well, hey, there you go. But then they get too stiff.
Oh, no.
That's crazy. I like to end on a crazy note. Have a good night, y'all.
Okay,
and,
Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
We'll
bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh,
that's too
no.
funny.
Yeah. And I didn't want to say that, but I was thinking the same thing, actually. You know, like, that ain't been nowhere in 2 days? Yeah, okay.
Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious. That was just hilarious. All right, Brian Culberson. His new CD is called 12. You can pick that up on his website, brianculberson.com. It's also on amazon.com. And Natalie Stewart's new CD is called Floetic Soul. You can pick that up on amazon.com as well. And we will have her back on the show as soon as I can get her scheduled. We will have her back on. All right. My gosh, that was funny. All right. Well, thanks to everyone in the chat room, all 36 of you. Thank you so much. for hanging out. I really appreciate you coming in and spending this hour with us, especially those on the West Coast, on the East Coast, because it's like, well, 11 o'clock there now. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Who do we have coming up this weekend? Let me see. Saturday we have Quentin. Saxophonist Quentin Gerard. I'm sorry, that's Sunday. It's saxophonist Quentin Gerard. And then, okay, I'm getting confused. Saturday the 15th is Quentin Gerard. Sunday the 16th is Farnell Newton. All right, so you want to tune in for those. All right, Mike, do you have anything to add?
No, just that I'm missing a little bit of the game, but like I said, Farnell and Brown,
whatever.
Hey, that's not
whatever.
A problem. That's not a problem.
Ever. You and those games. All right, well, I'm going to close the show with one of my favorite songs by Brian. This is called Secret Garden, and it's featuring Howard Hewitt on vocals, and it's from Brian's Something About Love CD. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen. Hello?
Yeah,
okay,
sorry.
And Mike Reynolds.
I blacked out, and Mike Reynolds. I blacked out. I apologize for that. I told you, football season's almost
over,
okay?
Chat room, I need a new co-host. I need a new co-host, chat room. Anybody interested?
Football season is almost over. I'm sorry, I blacked out there for a second. I apologize.
Lord help me.
Mm-hmm. Mike Reynolds.
Okay, let's try this again, Mike. You
okay,
have been... You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
Oh, and we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you. Until next time, keep it smooth.
We can sing together.